Tell you what, we've been talking about a crazy world, haven't we? Last few weeks we've been talking about trying to thrive internally in a world that's chaotic. It doesn't seem like it's calming down any every week that we've done. There's always something going on. And I talked about the world being crazy, people being crazy, people doing crazy things, politicians saying crazy stuff. How do you live in peace? And how do you thrive internally in the middle of all that? Because we've been talking about soul survivor, thriving internally. Thriving internally. Help me out, Blake. Thriving internally. Yeah. In the midst of what?
Chaos.
World can be chaos. Life can be chaotic. I talked a little bit about last week how if you're up in a jet, you're traveling in a plane at 35,000 feet. You can't breathe up there unless you have a pressurized cabin of about 67,000 feet. And you have to be able to breathe. And so life sometimes is flying at 35,000 feet. But internally, as those who know God and who have a relationship with Jesus, we can fly at 7,000 feet. Where we can breathe, we can have peace. And if you can fly on a plane, you can sleep. There's just a relaxing that you can do at that elevation level. And so we got to figure out how do we fly at that altitude when everything around us is chaotic, when the pressures of life, the anxiety. We've been talking about how in this world there's going to be tribulation. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. We talked about how anxiety is up in our country. Depression is up in our country. Suicide rates are up in our country because there's so much pressure on the outside of us pushing in on us. Unless you got some cabin pressure inside of you to hold it off, you're going to be crushed. And so that's what we're talking about. And I got three F's for you today. F. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Make sure my accent didn't come and you thought I said something else. Right. But we've been looking at other things to give us peace down inside of us. We look to cell phones, smartphones. We look to politicians. We look to money and careers and jobs trying to get us some rest, the relationships down inside of us. That stuff not necessarily bad in and of itself, but when you put that in front of God and expect it to be your all in all and to give you that rest you're looking for, it's going to fall on. It's going to fall. It's not going to last on you. My first point today is, in order for us to have peace inside of us, to have rest for our soul, the first F we got to have is we got to have faith. We got to have faith in a God who's bigger than our circumstances. Now, there's two kinds of faith. There's saving faith, which the theologians call salvific faith, which means because Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, if we repent of our sins, it says, by faith you have been saved. By grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast.
Right.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart man believes, resorted unto righteousness. And with the mouth he believes, resorted unto salvation. Now that's what we're talking about. That's saving faith. And then Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. He said, repent therefore and receive, be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When they asked him, how much may do to be saved? So because of what Jesus did on the cross and he rose from the dead, we can be forgiven of our sins. We all deserve to be punished.
Yes.
We all deserve to go to hell. And I hate to say that word, but that's just a fact.
True.
We all deserve that. But because of what he did on that cross, because of the sacrifice that he did, we can ask Jesus to forgive us and he can cleanse us by his blood. Now that's saving faith. If you haven't done that, you need to think and consider that. Now, what I'm talking about today is a different kind of faith. It all runs together. But when I speak of faith, I'm speaking of a decision that you make to believe what the Bible says about you and about the promises that God has for you. That we got to trust in him in our day in and our day out life. A wise man said this to me one time when I was at one of the lowest points in my life. One of the lowest failures I thought that I had done. The most tragic moments of my life. And he called me up and he said this. And he said, Andy, on this side of heaven, it is our responsibility to believe and have faith in him. But he's the one who makes the final decision. That, hey, all God expects from us is faith. He wants us to trust him and believe him. Let me read this passage to you. Faith, we talk about what is faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. Or that the creation, he created things by faith. And without faith it is impossible to please God. And that's what the Bible says. I didn't make that up. But let's read a couple other scriptures in regards to this having this faith aspect. And let me just say right off the bat, I don't know if I completely understand this, how God wants us to have faith in him, but yet he's a sovereign God, and he decides what's happening, and but he requires faith of us. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, it said, Jesus answered, saying to him, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted for him, to him. Therefore, I say to you, all things which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. There's this faith. He wants us to have faith in him. James chapter 5, if anyone among you suffering, then he must pray. If anyone cheerful, he is to sing. If anyone among you sick, then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Jesus. And the prayer offered in what? Faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And he, if he has committed any sins, his sins will be forgiven. And then in 1 John chapter 5, which sort of balances and gives you a little bit more insight into this whole issue of what faith is, says there is this is the confidence which we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, you hear that? According to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Asked from him. So there's this element of faith. And for us to survive in the world that we live, we've got to have faith and trust in an almighty God who supersedes everything that's happening around us, who's the creator of the universe, that we can look to him beyond our circumstances. You're going to have faith. And I'm not talking about putting your trust in faith, how much faith you have. I'm talking about putting your trust in a God who can answer every prayer, who is bigger than any problem that we could ever have. Now, sometimes he may answer the prayer differently than what you expect, but still he's a sovereign God who can answer prayer, and he wants us to have faith. Now, this whole faith issue, I was sort of excited about this. Let me slow down. I don't talk so fast. I was excited about this subject. I remember when I was a younger man. I forgot to say when I was a young man. I'm not going to profess oldness on me right now. I'm 54. Excuse me, 44. Well, I better 54. I better be honest. But every time, no matter how old I get, faith always seems to be a part of my Christian walk. I remember when I was brand new in the Lord, and I was trying to understand what faith meant and what it was. Faith is not the absence of doubt. It's not the absence of fear. It's overcoming that and having faith in the midst of that. And I remember one time I was in college, and you know, you look back on your life sometimes, those of us who are a little bit more mature in age, and some of the things we did back then, we sort of look at each other and sort of like, why did I do that? I mean, it made plenty of sense at the time. Now I'm looking at it like, well, you probably, maybe it wasn't the best thing to do, whatever. But I remember one time I was in the living room and I was praying and I was believing God for something, money or something. It's like finances is where faith always has to come in. Isn't that right? Why is it that finances is always where faith has to come in? Because we got to eat, right? You got to sleep, you got to eat, you got to have this roof over your head. But Jesus talked about that. I don't have time to go into that, but he talked about that. Anyway, I was believing God for something. I laid my Bible on the floor. I was walking around. And back then, you know, I was trying to walk around and striving to get God to hear me. God, please. You know, I was striving, trying to get God to do something that I wanted him to do. Let me tell you, faith is not striving to get God to do something. Faith is trusting that he's going to do it. Not striving. The more I have faith, the more he's going to do something. No, it's about trusting in him and resting in him. That's rest for your soul. So I stood on top of my Bible. I said, Lord, I'm standing on the word. I mean, I figuratively was standing on the word. Literally was standing on the word. Man, do what you got to do. to get full of faith and believe him in the midst of your troubles. If you got to stand on your Bible literally, do it. I had to do it at the time. And I look back now and said, I don't think it did anything different to God, in God's eyes that I did that. But this whole issue of believing God, the thriving, always comes back to faith for me. Even at my age, I still have to believe God for something. If it's not money tomorrow, it's my children tomorrow, it's, you know, about to go on vacation in my truck. Every brake in the truck has to be fixed. I didn't plan on that $700. I didn't plan on my car dying and have to go spend $1,000. That's faith there. One time when me and Catherine were earlier in our marriage, and I was still doing campus ministry, and I had some support come in. You know, we had a bi-weekly check came in for $28 one week. $28. Now, we had a little bit of salary to be completely divulging all. We had some salary from the church, but not a little bit. And I'm looking at a $28 check. Now, that's when the rubber meets the road, people. That's when life hits you. This whole faith thing comes in, is when it's not looking pretty and you got to believe God for something. You may have fear today that you're having to deal with. You may be tore up about the government. You may be, all kind of stuff may be going on in your mind, but you're going to have faith in this God in order to get and live through that, to have rest, to thrive in the midst of it. Because if you don't lean on God, you're going to lean on something. If you don't lean on Jesus, you only, everybody says Jesus is a crutch. Well, I tell you what, everybody's got a crutch. Even if it's your own intellect thinking you got it all figured out. There's some brilliant people out there who think they just got it all together. But they got a crutch. Their crutch is their own brain. Everybody's got a crutch. Everybody's got something that they're relying on. I've seen God, as I have learned through the years, this whole issue of faith, as I've learned through these things, I've had to believe God. I've seen God provide cars for us. I've seen God provide a house for less than half the value renting it. Something way better than I could ever have done for myself. I've seen God provide a woman way 10 million times greater than I could have ever done. After people praying for me for so many years, believing God, finally, Catherine had mercy on me and married me. Felt sorry for the poor campus minister. And married me anyway. Mind if I tell them about your mom? Her mom was so worried they weren't, we won't have nothing if she married a minister. At the time, I didn't have nothing. I mean, let's just say it like it was. It was faith. So I know she didn't marry me for my money. Thank you, Jesus. So thank you. Thank you for staying with me, baby, through all the thick and thin. Faith is not the absence of fear or doubt. I'll say it again. It's choosing to believe in the midst of fear and doubt. Choosing to believe and have faith. No matter how old you are, you're always going to come back to the issue of, are you going to have faith and trust in God? I don't care how long you've been in this thing, how many years you put into it. That always comes back to that. And I'm not being extra up here. Did I use that in the right context? Is that the right context? I use a slang word that actually works in context. Usually I'm totally off of context. It's sort of fun around my house. I learn all these words. I keep trying to use them. They just shake their heads at me like, hey, Daddy, you're just trying to be cool when you're just not. I'm like, The second F this morning. I could go on and on about faith. I don't have time for that. The second F, you got to have some fight. You got to have some fight inside of you. You can't cower down. You got to have some fight. You know, I've met some ladies who were so prim and proper, they didn't even want to raise their voice. I said, when we come into the devil, ladies, you got to just hit him hard. I don't care. Just rise up, O woman of God. Don't be nice to the devil. But there's thoughts that go through your mind, and as I mentioned, that you just can't figure out where is that coming from. 1 Timothy says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to that which was you were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Presence of many. Let me read you another passage talking about this fight that we need to have inside of us. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculation and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking thought, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. There is a battle that we have. I talked about it last week. There's going to be crazy thoughts that are going to go through your mind. That's why I've been telling people, you got to know what the Bible says so you can counteract every thought that goes through your head, whether it's from God or it's a temptation. Temptation starts in the mind. A thought comes to your mind. And when that thought comes, you have a choice to make at that moment. Do I receive that thought and ponder it and begin to say, well, maybe so? Or do I kick it out and say, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says? When that temptation comes, you're going through the store, you know, you could easily steal that and stick that in your pocket and walk out. What are you going to do with that thought? You going to jump on it? Or are you going to take it captive? You're on that computer, it's late at night. Temptation comes up, maybe I should go to this website. That thought comes into your mind, what are you going to do with it? Do you kick it out, move on, go to bed? What do you do with it? Thoughts comes here, and you got to fight that fight. Now, I could go on this, but I want to take this whole warfare thing a little bit on a different track today because we've got Thanksgiving coming up. But the content of what we're talking about is having a soul that's fresh, that's thriving, our emotions, our mind, our will, thriving in the midst of chaos. So I did a little research, and on Forbes, that a psychotherapist read this and said, this is the benefits of Thanksgiving. I believe Thanksgiving is a weapon. Yeah. James almost took my message this morning, that Thanksgiving is a weapon that we can use to help make sure that in our warfare emotionally that we're doing okay. It really helps. So I looked up, and on Forbes, this is a psychotherapist that has nothing to do. They're not Christian. It wasn't a Christian website at all. It's Forbes. And they come up with 7 benefits of gratitude. I'm sitting there thinking, well, these gratitude benefits, if they had read the Bible, they would have figured it out a long time ago. But here's what it says, 1, gratitude opens the door to more relationships. So having gratitude, I mean, you ever been around somebody who's just negative all the time? Who wants to be around those kind of people? 2, gratitude improves physical health. And these are scientific studies that have been done. That gratitude is physical health. So if you want to prosper in a world that's chaotic, have gratitude. It's going to help you physically. And then the next one is it improves your psychological health. It improves your psychological health to have gratitude. Gratitude also enhances empathy and reduces aggression. To just have gratitude, being thankful. Gratitude. Grateful people sleep better. Who said we need to sleep better? Let's check our gratitude at a little bit. And I'm telling you, this is not from a Christian source, y'all. Is it okay if I say y'all here in the South? I'm telling you, this is not from a Christian source. Gratitude improves self-esteem. So it helps you with relationships with other people, and it helps you internally with your own view, having gratitude. Gratitude increases mental strength. So many of these, several of these, have to do directly with how it affects you physically and how it affects you emotionally to have gratitude. So in order for us to fight a successful warfare, a foundational element of that, I've already said, is faith and trust in God. But another part of this is having gratitude, thankfulness. So when we go this weekend for Thanksgiving, let's be grateful and thankful for the blessings that God has given us. Let's be grateful for our nation, even with the problems that we have, even with the struggles and the historical sins of our past. Let's be grateful that God has blessed us in this nation. Let's be grateful that people from all over the world still want to come here despite our problems. Let's be grateful to God, and I believe our whole mentality will change. Who we are will change. All these things will benefit us. So let's be grateful. Let's gratitude. And that's one of the greatest weapons of our warfare that we can have, is to be grateful and have gratitude for what we have. Look, people say, I got nothing to be thankful for. I'm sure you can find something to be thankful for. If you sat, you got shoes on your feet. And I got clothes on my back. Everybody in here, I say, has got clothes on their back. So you got something to be thankful for. You can be thankful. Tell you what, if you're down and depressed, start thanking God for what He's done, and it's amazing what just lifts off of you. When you start looking at life through eyes of gratitude versus life of entitlement. Somebody owes me something. Jesus owes you love, and He owes you. He's already given you all that you need. He died on the cross, and He rose from the dead for you. Now, the third one is what I've really been excited about, wanting to preach the most. So what was the first one? What was the second one? The third one is fun. Fun. You know, the Jewish people, they had three major festivals. They had many others, but they had three major festivals. Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles, the feast. These were feasts. When they came into Jerusalem, they weren't coming in with head down, depressed. They were coming in celebrating a feast, a festival. I mean, they were excited. They were partying under God's anointing. They came in to celebrate what God had done. They came in, they were eating food like we're about to do with Thanksgiving. It was a festival, a feast, and they came in to celebrate and excite. Remember the story of David dancing before God after a great victory, and his wife criticized him, and God cursed her because she criticized. He was dancing around worshiping God. He was excited. And so when it came to festival, so I believe as Christians, we need to have some fun. In the kingdom of God, it's not all drudgery. Oh, we got to believe God. So I know I'm talking a lot about faith and fight, but there's an aspect of fun that will make our souls prosper and help us live a successful life. Let me read some passages of the Bible to you. The first one I'm going to read is starting in Nehemiah. It says, go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And in your right hand are pleasures forever. Pleasures forever, the Bible says. Oh, but there's a lot of good stuff in the presence of God. I've had way more fun. We're partying with Jesus and my other Christians and all the partying I used to do in some of the other places. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Mourning, not, you know, like you're struggling with life. Lost some mourning into dancing. You have loosened my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Gladness is smiling. Gladness is having joy. Gladness is enjoying some life. Jesus says, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Yes. You say, Eddie, I'm not feeling any of that right now. Well, hang in there. What Blake said this morning, I thought he was going to steal my sermon too. He's up here, worship God, praise Him. We can make our souls bless Him. By the way, you gentlemen, when y'all shared that, I thought, well, maybe I'm going to try it this morning. For His anger is for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning time. Morning time. Shout of joy comes when? In the morning time. You can go to bed down and get up in joy. Life is hard. Life is tough. But you can still get up and believe God and stand on that word and have some grace and some love and some passion behind it. I would have despaired if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have despaired. Let them praise His name with dancing. Let Him sing to Him with timbrel and lyre. Yes. So don't freak out if somebody gets a little excited one Sunday and starts dancing around. It's all right. If it's inappropriate, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. But we need to have joy. Yes. Oh, clap your hands, old people. Shout to God with the voice of joy. Yes. That's why we worship in here. That's why we praise in here. Because we're going to come to God the way the Bible says we're supposed to come to Him. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and empowered with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. I grew up watching Jesus movies. And in my culture, you know, it's like Jesus was this white English guy who spoke the Queen's English. And to be honest with you, I can't even watch a Jesus movie that doesn't have a British accent. It just doesn't work for me for some reason. I don't know why. I just was so programmed in me. He's got to speak British English to enjoy it. But I want to show you a picture of the Jesus. Show that picture of Jesus up there. Now, we are a multicultural, multiracial church. So Jesus is not a British white guy. No, every race of people, culture of people, has a Jesus in their culture. They have a picture of him the way they look. And so since America has been, and Britain obviously was, the majority relates was white, we pretend to put Jesus in white man's skin. Now, but this is more of a Middle Eastern Jesus. I'm also a historical, I get a little bit like I want things to be historically accurate. So this is probably more about what Jesus looked like as a Middle Eastern Jew in Palestine. So, but I'm going to show you a video clip of a Jesus who's a British white guy from England. So I just want to let you know, this is probably, if you could sort of transpose his face onto the guy that I'm about to show you, because I want to show you the guy and how he's acting. The way he's acting is how I want you to take note of, okay? This Jesus. All right, so play that clip.
So the disciples started asking among themselves, could somebody have brought him food?
My food is to obey the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work he gave me to do.
Love that British accent, don't you?
You have a soul. 4 more months and then the harvest. But I tell you, take a good look at the fields. The crops are now ripe and ready to be harvested. The one who reaps is being paid and gathers the crops for eternal life. So the one who plants and the one who reaps will be glad together. For the saying is true. Someone plants, someone else reaps. I have sent you to reap the harvest in a field where you did not work. Others work there. And you profit from their work.
Many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them, and Jesus stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his message, and they told the woman, "We believe now, not because of what you said, but because we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he really is the Savior of the world."
Now, notice Jesus, the way he's been portrayed. He's smiling. He's approachable. People are coming up to him, touching him. He grabs a child. These are Samaritans who were not, the Jews had nothing to do with. They were like rejects from the Jewish religion. He's in their town, right, where other Jews wouldn't even go there, talking to a woman. They're approaching him. They're all over Jesus. He's smiling. I grew up some portrayals of Jesus where he was just stoic. Really, there's a movie that was made in the 60s. I'm not going to call it out. He's just stoic and mystical. Come out, I say. No, I just like, I couldn't, except in British, you know. And it just doesn't, I believe, portray the loving Savior that we have. So I believe Jesus had fun. I know he ended up, his purpose, his passion was to go to the cross, but I believe he enjoyed most all the minutes on the way there with all the people. Luke 10 says this. It says, "And at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit." Some say greatly rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. So there was an exceeding joy inside of Jesus when he was exalting God. I don't believe Jesus was like, "Lord Jesus, Father, I just thank you." Said he was exceeded. He was like, "Father God, I don't know, Yahweh, we love you." I wouldn't be surprised if Jesus wasn't jumping around, doing a little twirl. "Oh, we worship you." That's the Jesus that we serve. Jesus wants us to have some fun in the Holy Spirit. To have fun in him. So when you're at, it's Thanksgiving weekend, if you sit down and watch football, just acknowledge Jesus and have fun. I have a great time doing other things that refresh my soul. Where we make mistakes is we look to that to be the all, in all in us. But we can have joy in the Holy Spirit. We can go out, whatever your thing is, whether it's fishing or hunting or watching Hallmark or, you know, we can all have joy. There's some other people I ring to, I'm not even going to point them out. But anyway, if that's what gives you joy, I believe God wants us to have fun in the kingdom. It's not all about fighting and battling. It's about having fun in the Holy Spirit and loving Him. And here's what some of that was happening in the early church. It says, day by day, continue with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Gladness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And then in Romans 15, he was exhorting the people after he wrote this pretty intense book of Romans all the way through. And at the end of this book, he goes, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we have rest for our soul? How do we live in a world of chaos and pressure and stress? It's by having faith in this Son of God. By fighting, being willing to fight the good fight of faith. And then just having some good old fun. There's nothing like going and clearing your head and having fun. And just having fun. Yesterday I was out playing badminton. I was sitting there thinking, this is good for my soul. I was thinking about the sermon out there, thinking about it. You know, this is what's good for me right now. Oh, forget about my sermon for a while. Let's just hit the... You know, I'm having fun, enjoying the presence of God. You know, let me just back up one thing and say this. God is going to test our faith. He's going to put us through some things sometimes to say, are you going to have faith? Are you going to have fight? And I went through a period in my own life where I was down and out. And the Lord said, you're not going to sit in that fear for the rest of your life. He won't let me stay there. He wouldn't let me go. He wouldn't let me go. He said, no, you're going to have some faith. I was afraid to even have another child. The Lord said, no, go have your children. Yes. I had some stuff happen to us. I was afraid. And God said, you're not going to live in that fear and that emotion. That's what faith. I'm backing up because I forgot to share this. God wants us to have faith. He's not going to let you sit in that fear and things in your life. Whatever. If there's a stronghold in your soul, He's not going to let you stay there if you seek after Him. And the Lord said, Eddie, go ahead and have your children. I know you're scared. I know you're fearful, but do it anyway. I heard from God. And then the promised child, Lydia, came. She was my promised child. Because God said, you're not going to stay where you are. So in conclusion today, let me just say this to you. Believe God. Have faith in God. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand. But at the end of the day, enjoy your relationship with God. Enjoy your relationship with Jesus. Oh, He wants to be with us. You know, He wants to stand with us. He wants to have fun with us. Man, I'm right. If I ever get a chance to ride a horse, I'm thanking Jesus. Oh, Lord, thank you that I'm on a horse. Whatever's your thing. Let Jesus be a part of it. And have fun in the Lord and the strength of His might. We're coming into the holiday season. We got Thanksgiving this week. Have fun in Jesus. Have fun in Jesus. Don't be so serious. Don't be so into it. I don't care if you get in a fight with your family. Just go pray and then come out and have fun. If you got drama with your family, just drama through it, man. Just say, hey, Jesus, help us, Lord. Just let me go sit in the other room. Y'all work this out. Nobody said you're supposed to be, if you're a Christian, nobody said you're supposed to be the referee of your family, does that? Let me say that again. I'm really off subject. But let me just say this as a piece of advice for you. Nobody said as a Christian that you got to be the referee. Maybe I'm the only one that has challenging moments, but anyway. What's the three F's? What's the first one?
Faith.
What's the second one?
Fight.
What's the third one?
Fun.
All right, let's say fun louder.
Fun.
That's what I like to hear.
All right.
Let's pray this morning, all right? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you're all that we need.
Yes.
You have an answer for everything that goes on in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace that's poured out upon us. I pray over every person here, no matter what they're going through right now, if they're in a moment of just struggle and stress, let your grace come and fill them right now, Lord. If they're in a down point of their life and in their emotions, God, come even now. Holy Spirit, I invite you. Let's just wait upon the Lord just a moment. Let us pray, invite you, Holy Spirit, now, that you would return unto those the joy of the Lord. If somebody said, I'm not experiencing any joy right now. My life is just rough. I've got so much happening right now. And I know there's people who really got stuff happening. May your grace come and meet them right now. May your grace return unto them the joy of the Lord. That momentary light affliction is producing in us men and women of God. Let your grace come. Strengthen them. Let your Holy Spirit comfort them. Let them experience some fun in the Lord and in the strength of His might, in the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that those who are, maybe they just haven't been experiencing the fruits of the Spirit, I pray you would come to them even now and give it to them, Lord Jesus. That you would help them in the battle, that even in the midst of the battle, they can have peace. Even in the midst of the battle, they can have joy. Even in the midst of struggle, they can have it. And Father, I pray for everyone today. Lord, I know that I've challenged everybody. I mean, some of the things I said today, y'all, was about what we need to do. But let me just say this to you. Jesus has already won the battle. He's already defeated the enemy on our behalf. So it's not all about what we can conjure up in faith, but it's about what He's already done for us. Because when we are faithless, He remains faithful. And so He's already done it. So don't be condemned. You say, hey, I don't have any faith and I don't have any fight. Don't feel that way because He's already done it for you. And as I said, when we are faithless, He remains faithful. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. No matter what's happening, the chaos in your world, keep your eyes on Jesus and grab a hold of Him. With whatever little bit of faith you got, ladies, I got nothing left. Just give Him what you got and hold on to Him. And I thank you for it. And Jesus, if you're here today and say, Eddie, I just need some prayer, raise your hand. That's got stuff happening. All the people around here, Lord, by faith, I pray you would come to them right now. That you would strengthen them by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, give them faith. Give them a supernatural great gift of faith to come upon them right now, Lord, for what's going on in them. Lord, He'd say, I don't have it in me. That's all right. The Holy Spirit can give it to you. Lord, I pray you give them a supernatural gift of faith right now for what's happening and going on in their life. I pray that you give them fight, Lord. Let them, let there's fight in them they didn't even know they had. At the moment of weakness, let it just sort of bubble up. Let the Word of God resound and come up inside of them and give them the faith. Give them the fight that they need, Lord. And at the end of the day, let them have some fun in your presence. Let them get some refreshment and some encouragement, Lord Jesus, in your presence, oh God. If they need to go for a walk around the neighborhood or walk through the woods, whatever they need, Lord Jesus, to just refresh their soul, help them to do it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.